Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. So as already mentioned, our topic today is pride as a spiritual practice. We're taking our inspiration from the Pride Festival today and from those who have stood up and declared, we are done being put down, being persecuted, and being told we are second-class citizens. We take inspiration from those who have said throughout the years and continue to say today, we are here, we are queer, and we are proud. All right? And some of us ads will get used to it at the end. Well, this pride movement started in 1969 in New York City with what has come to be known as the Stonewall Rebellion, a series of spontaneous demonstrations by the LGBT community against repeated police raids at the Stonewall Inn. The following year, 1970, New York City would hold the first official Pride March, and at the end of that event, one of its organizers, Foster Gunnison Jr., said this, and each of these 5,000 homosexuals had a new feeling of pride and self-confidence, for that was one of the main purposes of the event, to commemorate, to demonstrate, but also to raise the consciences of participating homosexuals, to develop courage and feelings of dignity and self-worth. In the coming years, pride would spread to more and more cities, and it remains today what it was in 1970, two purposes, to declare our pride and to demand our rights. It's about reclaiming our lives, our stories, our identities from those who would much rather we stay hidden in the closet. But we're done with closets. Pride is also about that building confidence and self-respect and solidarity within the 2S LGBTQIA plus community. More on that alphabet soup in a second. But that's what it's about. That's why we come together and demonstrate, so we can remind ourselves and declare to those around us, and we're not going anywhere. We are proud and we are here. We've always been here. So now the alphabet soup that confuses some people. Years ago it was just gay. That was all encompassing, right? We went through several iterations of the different acronyms till we landed today on 2SLGBTQIA+. 2S for two-spirited. It recognizes that many Native American cultures called two-spirited those people who had some blend of the masculine and the feminine. They were most often highly revered individuals and would become the shamans and the healers because they were seen as more in tune with more aspects of the divine, of the great spirit. L is for lesbian, G for gay, B bisexual, T transgender, Q is queer. And I need to say a little more about that word. Some of the elders in our community don't like that word because it was used as an insult. It was used to attack them for many years. But many of us, my age and younger, have embraced that word, part of reclaiming our identities. We have embraced the word queer to mean nothing but positive. Now, through the rest of the talk, I will use that word quite a bit, queer. Know that it's meant only in the highest and best and proud sense of the word. Next is I for intersex. Those people who are born with physical and physiological characteristics of both male and female, and there are many more of them than you might think. A for asexual, those who just don't feel attraction to anybody. And the plus recognizes or honors the fact that all of this is very complicated and expresses infinitely in human beings. And so for all of those who don't attach themselves or identify with any of those other letters, we have the plus to be all inclusive. So there you have it, a little bit of queer studies right here at Portland Center for Spiritual Living. Okay, so moving on with pride. Pride is something that all of us can practice because all of us, every single one of us, deserves to claim and express and be proud of who we are just the way God made us. So pride is for all of us. Now, unfortunately, and quite sadly, and I'll admit that sometimes it brings up feelings of anger in me, that some religious traditions have taught that pride is a sin. Because, they say, it keeps you from connecting with God. Now, in these teachings, God is something separate from its creation. It's out there somewhere. I never quite understood where, but it's out there somewhere. It's keeping an eye on us. It's judging us. It is omnipotent. It is the only thing in the universe that has power. So us mere limited humans are to be humble, to walk around in humility. And that if we show pride in any sense, or if we're proud of our accomplishments, then somehow we're denying God his glory. And yes, it's always a him. But somehow we're denying God its glory, its credit, if we're proud of ourselves. And in society at large, this has been a recurring message that we are to think lowly of ourselves. Thank goodness this is changing. I hear with each generation of parents teaching their children, don't buy into that whole you're a sinner thing, even if you heard it at church. Don't attach yourself to that. Thank goodness we're finally teaching our children to be proud of themselves just the way they are. But some of us are probably of an age where we grew up with the idea that you're no good, you're a sinner, God doesn't love you, you're not worthy of that kind of love, right? We've also been taught that there's a certain beauty standards, that to be considered beautiful, you have to look a certain way, you have to have certain skin type, hair, eyes, nose, body type, right? And that intelligence meant excelling at only certain academic subjects. Talent was reserved for the athletes, the musicians, the singers, the dancers, which left me out, right? But so much harm has been done from this. Toni Morrison wrote an entire book about the harm that this does to our children, to all of us. That book called The Bluest Eye. When a young African-American girl looks in the mirror and she thinks very low of herself because she doesn't fit society's definition of the all-American beautiful girl who's white and blonde hair and blue eyes and skinny and probably is a cheerleader. And this does so much harm to our souls and to our spirits. And it's just not true. Think of how many of us are left out of that definition of beauty and talent and intelligence, such that we don't think we deserve to be proud, but we do deserve to be proud. If you're in the queer community, you've been told that God intended everybody to be straight and cisgendered and that everything else is an abomination. And it hurts for me just to say that. But because of this teaching, so many people in the queer community now believe and have believed through the years, God doesn't love me. I'm not lovable. There's something wrong with me. And this, no wonder, has led to, in the queer community, a higher prevalence of challenges like substance abuse, suicide, loneliness, one failed relationship after the other. And let me be crystal clear. These challenges has nothing to do with the fact that we are gay and lesbian and trans. It has everything to do with the emotional, spiritual, and physical violence that is perpetrated against us. For years, I thought I was broken, that there was something wrong with me. I didn't come out to myself as a lesbian until my early 30s, which meant all through my teens and early adult years, I could not understand what all these women in my life were talking about. Right? My sisters, my girlfriends, my female coworkers, they would tell stories about this guy that they're dating and their relationships and their marriages and their feelings and all this. And I'm like, wow, that is so not my experience. Because I did occasionally date men when they were courageous enough to ask me. Because I never gave him any signs I was interested, but every once in a while somebody thought he would try. But of course it always failed. So I got to the point after many years of this of thinking, I must be broken. There's something wrong with me. I don't think I'm capable of loving somebody. So I guess I'll just be alone forever. And then finally, and it was a very quick process, when I finally gained enough self-awareness, I said, oh, I'm not broken, I'm gay. Which for me, realizing I'm a lesbian was a healing, because then I knew I wasn't broken. But for many people in the queer community, it's kind of the opposite effect. The moment they realize they're queer, that's when they start thinking and believing, oh, wait, something's wrong with me. My family is going to kick me out. My church is going to kick me out. There's something drastically wrong with me. I better get fixed. I'm a mistake. Why did God do this to me? God does not make mistakes, people. So I want everyone to hear this. You are not a mistake. Every single one of us, all of us, queer or not, I'm all inclusive, every single one of us is made in the image and likeness of the divine. Not just those who fit the human definition of beautiful, of talented, of what is right and normal, but every single one of us. We are not broken. We are not mistakes. Jesus had absolutely nothing to say about any of this. He had nothing to say, this great teacher, about homosexuality, beauty standards, what is right and normal. He had nothing to say about any human being an abomination, but you know what he had a lot to say about? We are the beloved of the divine. The kingdom of God lives within. We cannot be outside God's love, outside God's givingness. and he made no exceptions. It is the rule, and there are no exceptions. So this entire idea that some humans are wrong or not normal because of who or how they are is just complete nonsense that we made up at some point. But we are not the island of misfit toys, okay? We're not flawed or broken or defective in some way. Every single one of us has the right to be proud of who we are, which is also why we should just stop comparing ourselves to other people. And I do it too. It's real easy to do, isn't it? We look at other people and they say, oh, that person's more beautiful than I am, or more intelligent than I am, more talented than I am. That person's even a better human being than I am. They give more, they pray more, they're kinder, they're more forgiving, they're more spiritual than I am because they meditate every day and they read all the best and latest bestsellers on spirituality, right? Ah, this comparison does us no good. I'm not saying we can't be inspired by others. We can. But comparing ourselves to other people and then feeling low about ourselves and losing our pride, can we just put an end to that, please? We are complicated, multifaceted human beings. There's a lot that goes into being a human being. And we all have different areas where we excel, where we're more able and talented. Right? It's just the way we are. It's part of being human. We're so all unique, which is why we need to use social media. There should be like a warning label on social media, like we have on alcohol and cigarettes. Warning, may be hazardous to your self-esteem. Right? Because what happens when we look at social media? Of course, we only put on our social media profiles all the best things about our lives, right? So when we're looking at other people's profiles, we're comparing our entire life, the good, bad, and ugly, with everybody else's best lives. And no wonder we feel worse when we get off social media than when we got on it. It should come with a warning label, right? But let's be proud of how God chooses to express as each one of us. We have a statement around here that goes like this. We believe in the individualization of the Spirit in us, and that all people are individualizations of the one Spirit. And much like Jesus, we make no exceptions. But this means that God, or Spirit, life, whatever word you want to use for it, that God is the all of our being. So contrary to what some of our partners in faith teach, when we are proud, we are not denying God its dignity or its grace or credit, its glory. When we're proud, it's like saying, well, gee whiz, thank you, God, for making me such a fabulous expression of you. Right? That's what being proud is. It's saying, man, God showed up in a pretty cool way right here. And this diversity that we see, that Catherine so beautifully invoked in her prayer, when we see the diversity everywhere throughout creation, it's because that one is infinite, so it needs infinite expressions to express itself. It needs infinite diversity to express itself. Sun Tzu wrote years ago, there are not more than five musical notes, yet the combinations of these five give rise to more melodies than can ever be heard. There are not more than five primary colors, yet in combination they produce more hues than can ever be seen. There are not more than five cardinal tastes, yet combinations of them yield more flavors than can ever be tasted. So what life does is take what appeared to be discrete, limited variables, and it creates infinite variations. So right now, I want us to take a moment to go within and consider those aspects of ourselves that we are proud of. And as you do this, I close with the words of Reverend Raymond Anderson. I am a gloriously beautiful, multifaceted, multidimensional, intermetasectional expression of oneness. I am a living, moving, breathing expression of how God does diversity, and I celebrate it. So just reflect for a moment and bring to your mind those aspects of you that you want to celebrate. And I invite and even encourage each of us to make this a spiritual practice, to occasionally sit in the stillness and reflect. What about me am I proud of? You may even want to look in the mirror once in a while and see yourself as spirit sees you. Maybe even talk out loud to yourself. Make pride part of your spiritual practice. Claim who you are, express who you are, and be proud.